Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
January 21st, 2017.
Seen through the course of history. Nothing is done when you sit back and be silent, so I think this is just the great opportunity to take this time and say that we have voices and we're not happy with how things are going.
The ability to control your body and control your life is the most basic definition of freedom that I can think of.
The idea of the Women's March was unity and standing together.
We, all of us together as one.
So my sign says, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things that I cannot accept.
I'm a supporter of love. And I pray that Trump has a successful presidency for all of us.
That's why we keep coming, and that's why we keep trying to do stuff to open up people's eyes.
Well, I hope we send a message to the White House that we are power in numbers. We are great in numbers. And they need to listen to what we have to say.
I did it in my 20s. Now I'm doing it in my 60s.
Sounds from the first Women's March the day after President Trump's inauguration. At least 500,000 women marched down Pennsylvania Avenue that day, and millions participated in marches around the world, chanting for reproductive and civil rights. It felt like the beginning of a movement. 2 years later, with the third march set for this weekend, the scene looks a little different. The organization behind the National Women's March has faced criticism of its leaders for anti-Semitic comments and has lost support from important allies. And far fewer women are expected to march this year. Koa Beck is an author and journalist who's been covering gender issues for a decade, and she says that what we're seeing today isn't so out of line with the past.
There is a history of women from different identities coming together under a feminist umbrella, which is very big and very large and a very large tent, and disagreeing. I mean, there are a number of women I'm thinking of when Gloria Steinem was organizing, and in her conversations with Betty Friedan, I mean, she basically, Betty Friedan alleged that lesbians weren't women and therefore were not, you know, should be in their corner, or they should not be fighting for their rights. Suffragettes definitely didn't think that black women were women, and didn't include them in marches, and actually thought it would detract from their issues if they had black women included in that. And there are versions of that that keep echoing, even I would say within queer rights as well.
Maybe this is just, you know, different factions realizing that, you know what, we've got different goals. I mean, that was something that mm-hmm. came out of the Women's March 3 years ago, which mm-hmm. was, you know, there were women of color there. I went. I was very surprised to see the levels of diversity that were in the crowd, mm-hmm. the numbers of different people that were in the crowd. But then after that, you started seeing, you know, this recognition once again that, well, you know what, are these white women in particular going mm-hmm. to show up for issues that affect women of color, right? Mm-hmm. Are we all bound by this one sort of feminist cry, mm-hmm. which I think we were initially, maybe, you know, given the political climate of the time. Mm-hmm. Now I think the real issues have reemerged almost, mm-hmm. right? Like, where do women of color, black women, you know, Muslim women fit into this broader narrative?
Well, I think with voting blocks, you see this a lot more cleanly. And in voting blocks, you know, we're getting away from the optics, right? Of like who's on stage and who's speaking and who's speaking on behalf of, you know, a big organization or a corporation or a hashtag. I mean, there's that really famous image that I really love with, you know, from Women's March of two women of color. They're black holding a sign that says like white women voted for Trump. And then they're just in a sea of white ladies who are like looking at their phones and on like, you know, wearing pink pussy hats and stuff. Traditionally speaking in this country, white women as a voting bloc do not vote for immigration reform, queer rights, criminal justice reform. These are not things that they prioritize when they go to vote. Black women, Latinx, Jewish women, they do. and I think there's a recognition there for, I think, what you're getting to about the structure in which we operate. The really sinister thing that is often not said in mainstream feminist circles is that white women benefit from patriarchy. And women of color, queer women, I mean, they're very aware of the fact that this while gender is such a big part of this, white women, because of the way our society is structured, are able to get closer to a lot of those patriarchal ideas. I mean, look at Lean In.
Is there any positive that we've seen come out of this movement in the past 3 years? And I don't want to say any positive. I mean, obviously, sure, there's some good. We are talking about feminism today. I remember the dark days of the 90s when you couldn't talk about it, right? Is there anything that we can sort of latch on to? Because I'll be honest, I do not see anybody on my social media feed talking about going to the Women's March.
Yeah, me either.
No one.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the things that I think with my background and my career, that specifically on gender and race, that I think is dangerous about when political activity or activism becomes trendy. Because if we're falling into that binary, then it's in and it's out. I've worked in media for 10 years, and that's the construction. Things come in and they're very hot and buzzy, and then they're passe. And it's, you know, and then we're back to the pendulum swinging of the 90s, in which, you know, you don't identify as feminist, or that's considered a taboo thing to say, or you're not supposed to talk about abortion or anything like that.
I mean, the only things that seem to come in and out like that, though, are race and gender and wealth. But
and
you know,
wealth. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that I'm just wondering if that was the moment, that was really it, the moment, you know, at the big march a couple years ago. And now, you know, it's evolved, and I don't think we're going to see the same level of excitement for this march.
I will say, as like, to think about it in terms of like good things, I think there have been documented and reported many, you know, problems and issues with Women's March that I think are fair. I think in terms of activating a large population and spawning many, many marches throughout the country, I think that's a good thing, and just registering political activism as something big and something that you can identify, that isn't, especially for younger people, that are not just archival images. I remember when I was starting my career and reporting a lot, I used to really have a lot of romanticism about, you know, civil rights photos and demonstrations and women marching and that sort of thing. But it became harder for me in my career to find images of that that were not from the 60s and 70s and even through the like early 80s. So I think in terms of like updating that archive, that's really important for people to see. But I also think that what this is prompting is that the structure by which we think about political activism is often flawed, because we live in a capitalist country. And so in order to spearhead a message about equality, it has to like fit into this box of like hashtag, a metaphoric tote bag, and this sort of feminism that has to exist in a commodified way. This is not the first time this has happened. There are so many sayings about, you know, whatever you value will ultimately be sold back to you. And I think that feminism, race, gender, Women's March is no exception.
I always say it's not a fad. Coa Beck is a journalist and incoming Harvard Kennedy School Fellow. Coa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tanzina.
Two years after the first Women's March, do you think the message behind the march is still urgent in 2019?
Hello, this is Lauren from Ravenna, Ohio. I am a white woman, a small business owner, and a self-proclaimed staunch feminist. The Women's Marches, I feel, are for entitled, straight, white women who the majority, and not all, don't even understand the hardships that minority women, let alone trans and LGBT women, face on a daily basis. I have never, do I plan on ever, participating in such a display of privilege.
Hi, my name is Breeland. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. I think the message of the Women's March is just as urgent as ever, but as someone who attended the march in both 2017 and 2018, it has been hard to get excited about this year's march amidst news of a lot of turmoil within the Women's March organization. They've faced a lot of criticism for excluding different groups of women and different beliefs of different groups of women, and they've had to issue a lot of statements, and it has sort of been distracting from the unifying message of the march, and so therefore I don't plan on participating this year.
That's our show for today. Thanks so much for talking with us. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.